Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me? I've got my son sitting in front of me, Luke, because I said if I speed up and talk too quickly, he's got to give me the signal to slow down. So that's his main job. Let's see if we can do that. Okay, anyway, so here we are, Pentecost Sunday. And as Sue rightly said this morning, it's 50 days after Easter. So it's a day that commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and is considered to be the birth of the church. But would you consider wisdom to be from above? If I said the word wisdom, I wonder what the first thing that comes to mind is to you. How do you spot a wise person? So this was the answer according to the internet. It's always a good go-to. They are compassionate, tolerant, and reflective. They are thoughtful and mindful of others' feelings and needs. They take time to understand the perspectives and situations of those around them. They show kindness, patience, and humility in everyday life. So we can see in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, that some of those traits I've just mentioned actually are very similar to the fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So doesn't wisdom ultimately come from above? So let's explore this. The Bible says this: listening is how we learn about wisdom. And as we learn to listen more and think before we speak. So I suspect we've all heard of that little saying that God gave us two ears so we'd listen twice as much as we speak. So perhaps that's what the wise old owl said in the nursery rhyme. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be that wise old bird? So listening and thinking before we speak is just so important. So words from others can be really hurtful, can't they? But at the same time, powerful words can be that encouragement that we need. So I'm pretty sure that every one of us here today can think of just one occasion that you really wish you hadn't said something. But once you say it, you just can't take the words back. So I wonder if you can remember how it made you feel afterwards once you said something you really regretted. And then I wonder if you can imagine how that person must have felt and how that affected them as well. So Proverbs 16, 23 to 24 says this: from a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, healthy for the body. Be wise and think before you speak. But do we? Do we always think before we speak? Proverbs 13, 3 says this: whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips come to ruin. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything. So sometimes the wisest thing is often just to be quiet. Just think before you speak. So why does God ask us to keep our tongues in check and listen more and exercise wisdom? When we speak before we think, it's often not always honouring to God. The church, however, doesn't always get it right. So as Paul said, we've often done things like this at our little churches. These are a few that notices in some various church bulletins across the UK that were never double-checked before they went into print. You bet they wish they had. So these are just a few. Don't forget the National Prayer and Fasting Conference. The cost for attending this conference includes meals. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget to bring your husbands. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been cancelled due to a conflict. The sermon this morning, Jesus Walks on Water,
Tonight's sermon at 6:30 will be on searching for Jesus. Barbara Jones remains in hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermon. And just one more. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the local Methodist church. Please use a large double door at the side entrance. So some of these are quite humorous, but as you can see, the words that we use can make such an impact. And if you just say them or put them in a slightly different way, it means something very, very different. So secondly, the Bible is our source of wisdom. Scripture tells us that wisdom is more valuable than gold. In other words, wisdom is of more significance than riches. So we looked at some of the Proverbs earlier on. I read some of the Proverbs out. So the book of the Bible of Proverbs is often nicknamed, isn't it, the Book of Wisdom. So Solomon makes a stunning statement in the introduction of the book of Proverbs in chapter 1 and verse 7. He gives us the cornerstone to the entire Book of Wisdom, and it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, some translations would say. So the word fear here isn't meant as that sort of to scare you, withdrawn horror kind of thing. It's the fear and the respect that brings us to submit and do what God wants us to do. So it's a very reverent fear. So what the Bible here is trying to tell us is that true wisdom can't exist without having reverence for God. So many people may be intelligent, but true biblical wisdom is only reserved for those who have that reverent fear of God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 teaches us that it's God who gives us wisdom. "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If we listen to instruction, which is teaching, we will become wise." Proverbs 19:20 says this: "Listen to advice, accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise." So, why is this book of Proverbs so powerful? Well, it performs all the functions and the scriptures that mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do and what is right. So the best way to stay grounded and focused is by spending time each day with a section of God's Book of Wisdom. So it was, when I was preparing this, it was a challenge to myself, and I'd encourage us, maybe a challenge to you all here today, just try to start the day by reading a proverb. Ask God to reveal what he wants to share with you, and then write it down. Maybe write down what you've actually learned from that proverb and just begin to think and apply it to your own life. And then maybe share it with others as well. So I've just started doing it. I haven't got very far, however, but the proverbs aren't very long, and it's a really lovely way to start the day. So thirdly, how do we ask for wisdom? Through prayer. The Bible tells us about the wisest man who ever lived, apart from Jesus himself, of course. Does anyone know who it was? Solomon, correct? Yeah. And can you remember what he asked for? Wisdom. Absolutely. So King Solomon wanted wisdom because he wanted to be a better leader. So he knew that if he had the wisdom, he would be able to lead so much better in a way that was God-honoring. So James chapter 1, verse 5 says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So James plainly says here, if you lack wisdom, God will grant it to you. And that is because God is wisdom. He is, you know, he's embodied in wisdom. So this is the one of the Bible verses about wisdom and guidance that reminds us just how important it is to ask God his views on things. So it's so important that his perspective and his standards is how we get through reading the scriptures and through prayer. Because God wants to give generously to us. He's not a stingy God. If we ask him for things, he will give it to us. So we can all grow in wisdom, and it's something that we can never exhaust. We can never be too old to grow in wisdom, and we can never be too young to learn. So wisdom is not something that God gives only to people who fear him. It's something he gives to people who that's his heart's desire. So if we desire wisdom and we pray for it, God will grant it to us. And it's because of our relationship with God, we can come to him with confidence, asking him to grant us wisdom and lead us in the way of understanding. So this is just a reminder, isn't it, that God has that desire just to have that relationship with us. And as I was, again, as I was preparing, I just thought, how many times have I woken up and done things like Wordle, Squirtle, read a chapter of the books, you know, anything. It's easy to find anything else to do other than reading the Bible and praying sometimes. And it's so important to start the morning with prayer, especially with a young family. I've just learned over many years, I suppose, that if the times I've started the day with prayer, it's just gone so much better because we've started that time of prayer. Now we pray with the children. My daughter's taking exams at the moment. Most mornings I've said, come on, Faith, let me just quickly pray with you. I just want to pray that the day's going to be okay. And 9 times out of 10, she'll come home and what she was worried about, she's been fine with. And it just made such an impact that the times we start with prayer and the times we open the Bible in the morning if we can, and the days are so much more powerful. So fourthly, age is how we experience wisdom. Being older doesn't necessarily mean you're wiser, but it probably means you've experienced a lot more, so you have a lot more to share. So the Psalms say this, chapter 9, verse 20, that a heart of wisdom comes from numbering our days, which could mean understanding that our lives are short here on earth, but we'll live forever in heaven. And keeping that in mind helps us make better choices every day. So wisdom does come from experience. So yes, it's not just about age, but when you're older, you have had, you know, experience so much more. And we've had to learn from the past as well. So things that have worked, and sadly, things that haven't worked so well. So these are all things we can bring forward with wisdom. So it's putting our understanding to that. And when we understand something more, we have so much more knowledge. So a dear friend of mine once gave me this book. It is a Christian book. And again, I've had it for years, and I've only just got around to reading it again. But it just had a little title in here, and it said, Great Truths About Growing Old. Some of them are humorous, but again, you can see the sort of truth behind it as well. Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. Forget the health food. You need all the preservatives you can get when you get older. When you fall down, you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. You know you're getting old when you get the same sensation from a rocking chair that you once did from a roller coaster. Time may be a great healer, but it's a lousy beautician. And this was probably one of the more sort of powerful ones, actually. Wisdom comes with age, but sometimes age comes alone. So God wants to use us regarding, and that's quite interesting, when Paul said this morning that the Holy Spirit genuinely wants to care for you. He's really interested in every ache, pain. Every day, you know, sometimes you might wake up and you're just going to think, how am I going to get through this day again? You know, this aches, that aches, and we all have problems and things. So the Holy Spirit, he's really interested in us. Every day, you know, every part of our life he's interested in, because he loves us all so much, just as we are. None of us can do anything to make him love us any more or any less. And finally, love is how we apply wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7 says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. So it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And doesn't that sound like an echo of what we read in Galatians at the beginning? Very similar sort of things going on there. So love is what Christians are supposed to do everything with. So when we act with love, our relationships do get better. Our faith can get stronger. We get along with others better. And whenever we have decisions to make or something to take care of, love is what helps us with the confidence to know what we're doing right from wrong. So remember this. Three things in life that once gone will never come back. Time, words, opportunity. Three things in life that will never be lost. Peace, hope, honesty. Three things in life that are most valuable. Love, self-confidence, friends. Three things in life that are never certain. Dreams, success, and fortune. Three things that make a person: hard work, sincerity, commitment. But the three things that are truly constant: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just a little brief recap on wisdom. So by listening and thinking before we speak, yes, listening to others, but God often will speak through other people to say something to us. And that's probably one of the hardest things to hear. Someone tells you something, and maybe it's not what you want to hear, but it's so important to think that actually God might well be using that person to say something to us and to speak into our life. Through the Bible, by reading the scriptures, which we believe is a spirit-breathed word of God. Through prayer to ask for wisdom, and where the Spirit intercedes for us, when we can't find the right words to say, the Holy Spirit will say the words for us. In age, as it gives us experience to learn, the Bible acknowledges that age can bring wisdom. Job 32:7 says this: age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. However, it also emphasizes that true wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, not just from growing older. And Job 32:8 clarifies this. But it is the Spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. And with love, thinking about how our actions and words can really affect and hurt others. They can build people up, they can hurt people as well. So simply, Jesus lived and wants us to live. And so that's why he left us the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our companion in his absence. So one of the hardest things to do, again, because we all want to do what we want to do, but surrendering our worries and our fears and our plans to God, just giving them all over and just asking him to just work in our life is a way of just, you know, it's allowing God to be in our life. So I've always, you know, are you getting that? Should I slow down? I just think I was talking. Oh, I always do, don't I? I know. So I've lost my place now. Anyway, the Holy Spirit often does speak in that little still small voice. So quite often when I'm on my early morning dog walk, those are the times when I just sort of pray to God about the day. And I often will just say, you know, Lord, just help me to know what you want me to do. Give me the right words to give people. And I work as a veterinary nurse, as a number of you know, I'm actually a veterinary nurse in the vet practice. And it's amazing the amount of really good conversations I can have with people. They just open up. You know, it's a bit like probably when you go to the hairdressers, when they, you know, that you can just talk to them about anything. But it's a really great opportunity just to be able to share with other people. So today is Pentecost Sunday, so my thought for this week is let's try to engage with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks through Scripture, guiding us in truth and wisdom. Practice trying to be silent and to keep still. So create space for prayer and meditation, and hopefully things will not distract us. Just trying to focus on that still small voice of God in the busy day that we can have so often. And obey God's promptings. The more we respond to the Spirit's guidance, the clearer his voice becomes in our life.